And joining us this morning by phone is Minnesota's U.S. Senator Al Franken. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jay.
Well, I think I know what you want to talk about. How about the fiscal cliff, or as some call it, the slope?
Oh, that, yes.
yes, oh, that, yeah.
Well, you know, I think the American people sent a message through the election that they want a balanced approach to getting our deficits under control and to continue building on the economic growth that we have been experiencing. And I think they basically said that balance means getting real revenue, continuing some smart targeted spending cuts and investments in the things that create growth, which we need to grow out of this, which is infrastructure and education and innovation. And that's what I think this election was in large part about. I led the effort in the Senate to extend the tax cuts on all income to $250,000. We passed it in the Senate, and we have to make sure the House of Representatives does that as soon as possible to give some certainty. We're in negotiations now, obviously, and it is my sincere hope that we get this done before January 1st.
So I read a piece in the Washington Post yesterday. They had a thing, everything you want to need to know about the fiscal cliff, in which they said the big problem is, in a sentence, much too much austerity, much too quickly. Is that your take?
Well, yes. There's this part of what would kick in January 1st are two things. One is spending cuts of about $1.2 trillion over 10 years. And the other is that all the Bush tax cuts would expire. So you would, Americans would be paying more in taxes, so they'd have less money to spend, and we'd have all these spending cuts, so also there'd be less money in the economy. And everyone agrees that that is a bad combination and could throw us back into a recession. As a result, we need to, you know, address this in a way that is going to pay down our deficit and over the long term address our deficit and our debt. And I think the message that people sent was that we need more revenue as part of this. That's part of the balanced approach, and that should come from those who have done the best in the last 10 years, that extra revenue, so they pay their fair share. And a great majority of Americans believe that, and I think that in the election they said that, and all the polling shows that they believe that. So that is going to be part of this balanced package.
Talking about the spending cuts, again, the Washington Post refers to that, as everybody does these days, as the sequester, or, as they said, we sometimes like to call them the big, dumb spending cuts that no one wants.
Right.
If they're big, dumb spending cuts that no one wants, how come we have them?
We have them because we had this debt ceiling debacle a year ago, August. And what that was about was kind of a game of chicken about raising the debt ceiling. Now, you have to pay your debts. And that's all on spending that we've, and on debt we've already incurred, that we've already passed. So it's really about defaulting on our debt, and we can't do that. And yet, unfortunately, we had kind of a situation where that was held hostage. And so part of that deal was that there'd be this $1.2 trillion in spending cuts that would have to be enacted, and that was sort of a sword of Damocles over the super committee. Remember the super committee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the super committee was supposed to come up with some kind of deal, and they didn't. And so no one wants these precise cuts, $1.2 trillion of cuts. Half of it would come from defense spending. Most people believe that we need cuts in defense spending. I certainly do, but maybe not that large. And there's some automatics, like it's an 8% cut in spending that would be very hard to do that with really without hurting vulnerable people. And so we agree now that we need some revenue to offset some of the spending cuts that we don't want to make. And I think the American people agree that that needs to come from the people who have done the best over the last 10 years and who can afford it to pay their fair share.
Well, of the two big measures that would take effect if we go over the cliff, the Bush tax cuts, in effect, is a tax increase for middle-class Americans.
It'd be not extending or the expiration of the Bush tax cuts.
Right.
And we've already passed a bill in the Senate, and I was a leader on it, to extend the Bush tax cuts on the first $250,000 of income, and then to revert on income over $250,000 to the Clinton rate, mm-hmm. during which our country created 22.7 million new jobs. And so there's no evidence that doing that would hurt job creation. And it would just mean that we don't have to make some of these cuts that could hurt our vulnerable population, that hurt our middle class. You know, the middle class has really been stressed. There's been a middle class squeeze over the last 10, 20, 30 years. There's a huge gap now, huge disparity in income between those at the top and those in the middle, and things are tougher and tougher for the middle class. We want to make sure that they are not adversely affected by this, that we grow the middle class and we increase the income of the middle class.
Well, I don't know that we here in Cook County are exactly average Americans, but the figures that I've seen is that the average American could see their tax bill rise by $3,400 in 2013. I do know locally, if the sequester goes through, our Cook County North Shore Hospital and Care Center is going to take a 2% hit to their budget. That's over $200,000. So it does hit home.
Yes, the sequester holds Medicaid harmless, but there would be a 2% cut in Medicare, and that would come out of the provider's hide. I want to make sure that we do the kind of reform of Medicare that we actually did during the Affordable Care Act, where we extended the life of Medicare by 8 years while actually increasing the benefits.
We've been speaking with Minnesota's U.S. Senator Al Franken. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jay.